And this morning we have David Olson. He is on staff at Fairhaven Baptist College in Chesterton, Indiana, teaches Bible and missions there, was a missionary in Zambia for 10 years, and also is been very active in Christian education on the elementary, secondary, and also college level. So very accomplished, also very accomplished author. He has his books in the hallway, though he would never say this about himself, but very thankful to have him here today, and just excited that the Lord has enabled us to bring him here. And I was able to hear some of his teaching at the conference, preaching conference this past year, and the Lord, I've been praying about who the Lord would have us bring for our missions conference this year. The Lord said, that's the guy. So here he is. Brother Olson, if you come, and will you bring the Word of God for us this morning? Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Pastor.
Well, I hope, hope I can live up to that. What a nice introduction.
Should have you stick around. I need to stick around you a little bit longer, you know, and have people say nice things about me.
No, it's a blessing to be here. Thank you for your kindness. Sarah and Caleb are sending their greetings to you. And, you know, they are sending letters, you know, grandparents, mom and dad. And then Sarah addressed an envelope that said, brothers. Okay, which are the brothers? All right, we got brothers. All right. One doesn't want to admit that he's a brother. He's like, I don't want anyone to know. And then she had one for Krista. Which one's Krista? Oh, okay. All right. So she gets her own. You guys just brothers. But at least she gave you something. Amen? That was nice. That was a blessing. So, we have a couple things on the back table that are free, actually. You know, not the books. But we have a little bookmark here for you, the 2018 Missions Conference, Tabernacle Baptist Church. So you can lose at any cost. So get one of those. There should be enough for every person to have one of these. Then I brought some pamphlet, a little brochure that we put together for our for my home church. We had a missions emphasis kind of week last back in April, and I put this together. And this is how to get involved with missions. I don't have a ton of these, but I probably have enough for one for every family. So if you'd like to know a little bit more about how you personally can get involved with missions, I think it'd be some helpful thoughts for you. So one per family on those, and then hopefully enough one for everybody on the bookmark. And be excited about getting to meet this brother here from Beams, right? When we were in Zambia, Africa, we were able to have Beams Bibles, and it was a huge blessing. It was a real big blessing to have whole Bibles, hardback Bibles that we could give to people who got saved. Because it was very expensive for folks over there to be able to get their own copy of the Bible. And so we were very, very, very thankful for that. In fact, they had sent us so much at one point, I had to send a letter back and say, okay, we got enough right now. You know, they just kept sending them on a regular basis, and it was a huge blessing. And we used them, though. Oh, yeah, we used them. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter number 9. I better get going or else I won't have my lesson. And I usually have too much to say, and so I usually say too much in the beginning, and then I get near the end and just throw out my points. So you'll get to know how I speak during the week. I over-prepare. That's how it goes. So we are in Matthew chapter number 9. And praying about, you know, all the different messages. I hope you're back here for all the service for this, you know, hope you stay through for the morning service. Hope you'll say, wow, you did such a horrible job. Let's get out of here. And make sure you come back for the evening. You know, I got to thinking, you know, I'm speaking six times. Three of those are in one day. So my job's half done after tonight. So, and half of all of what we're going to talk about is going to be done. So let's make sure we're here for all of it today. Amen. We're in Matthew chapter number 9, and I better ask too, what time do I finish?
45.
All right, we're going to be moving. Matthew chapter 9. Let's pray, and then we'll read the scripture, and then we'll put our seatbelts on. Father, we thank you for your love to us, your faithfulness. Thank you for this local church that's got a burden for missions and would like to increase their burden for missions. And we ask that you will use your word and Holy Spirit, that you'll do a work in the hearts and lives of every one of us to see what you'd have us to do about reaching more of the lost for you. Lord, I pray that you'll use this Sunday school hour in a special way, and you'll bless the morning service also, and bring some more folks out for that too. We just ask that you'll move in a special way. We ask it all in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Matthew 9, verse 35 is where we're going to begin. It says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." We see, it's a very familiar passage of Scripture, and here we see the burden that the Lord Jesus Christ has for the world. He has a true concern for the world. If you're looking for a title of the lesson, we would simply call it this: Concern for the Lost. Concern for the Lost. How can we begin talking about worldwide missions if we don't personally have a concern for lost people? Do you genuinely have a concern for the unsaved? I hope so. But, you know, this passage actually gives us and shows us five things that will reveal if we truly have a real concern for the lost. So as we look at this passage, I want you to consider and ask yourself if you have these five things in your life. If you've got these five things, you're probably on the road toward having a burden for others. If you're missing these things, then it should tell you that maybe you're missing something. Something that Jesus wants you to have. Something that he had. Something that he exemplified. And something that he wants for us to have in our own lives. And so we'll see them. And I'll give you the first one here. And it's very simple. It's going. How do we know that Jesus had a concern for the lost? Because he was going to reach them. He was going. Verse 35, it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages." He went. He was busy going and trying to reach needy people with the gospel. If we don't go, and we don't go out and knock on doors, give out tracts, try to engage people with just witness and tell people about Christ, if we're not going, how can we say we have a concern for others? We need to be going. You know, sometimes we get a little bit older or we're not feeling real well and it's hard to go as much as we used to go. Amen. But we can still do something. Everybody can do something. We're going to meet people. And those people are souls. They're going to spend eternity somewhere. And going to the lost often precedes getting a burden for them. Let me explain this. You know, sometimes you don't have a burden. So I don't really have a burden for lost souls. Great. Let me tell you how you get one. Just start going. And you start meeting people. And you start talking to people. You start engaging with people. And you start seeing what their needs are and what they're up against and how they have no hope and how they have no peace and how their lives are a wreck. And you'll begin to get a burden for them. And your concern will grow as you go. It really will. It really will. A few years ago, my wife and one of my daughters were, you know, making some visits during the week, going out to see some of the kids that ride on the bus route, and just going out there. And one day, they knocked on one door. A couple of kids who were usually very, very happy, teenagers, or young teenagers they were, and usually very, very happy when they get
came to the door very, very, very sad and distraught. They had just, before my wife and daughter had gotten to the door, just before they got to the door, they had received a phone call that their brother had committed suicide. They had a need.
Now, how do you think that affected my wife and my daughter? Do you think they had more of a burden or less of a burden for those people after that? They had much more of a burden. And much more prayer for them. And much more earnestness in trying to help them. You see how it goes?
You get out and you see people. You see where they live. You see what their needs are. You're going to have a burden for them. I'll tell you what. When a pastor takes his first missions trip to a third world nation, to a developing country, his heart is just teeming. He comes back. He's wondering if he's called to leave, you know. So be careful when you send your pastor off to a missions trip, right? No, never be careful. You want him to have that burden. You want him to come back all fired up and stirred up and challenging people to go into this lost world and preach the gospel to them. We've got to get a burden. And Jesus, notice some action verbs here, some things that were going on there in verse number 35. I've got these three words underlined. So it says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages. The first one I have underlined there is teaching. And then the next one I have preaching. And the third one I have healing. Now, we can do the first two. We can't do the healing. But we can do some teaching. We can do some preaching, proclaiming Christ. You don't have to get up on a box and start yelling and shouting at everybody. But you can proclaim the truth. And as far as healing, we might not heal people. What was healing? They were helping people. It's okay to help people. It really is. I don't believe in the social gospel. I don't. But I also believe that if you do really love people, that you will really try to help people. It's okay to preach about Christ and give out the gospel, and it's also okay to be nice to people. Sometimes, you know, independent Baptists, they get this idea, you know, they're just, you know, mean and just shouting all the time, and they're not even nice to people. Well, how are you going to win people? You're not even nice to them. Anyway, that's just a side note. So Jesus was teaching, he was preaching, he was healing, and what we need to do is we need to get busy and we need to go, and then we will get a burden. And if we're not going, I will contend that we probably don't have much of a burden. We don't have much of a burden. You say, well, that's just good for the older folks. That's good for the younger folks. When my son John was about 12 years old, we were home on a furlough. And you know, he was just used to doing ministry all the time with us. And we come back on the furlough. He went to one of the nursing home ministries on a Saturday. And so every Saturday some other people would go and visit the nursing home, and they would sing for the folks there, and one of the men would get up and preach and different things. And I remember he came home one Saturday, and we have our family devotions in the evening. So Saturday evening we're having our family devotions and asked for prayer requests. And John, got all teared up. And he asked for prayer for a certain man. He said, he's dying. He said, Dad, can we go see him? Well, it was Saturday night. We didn't go down to see him Saturday night. When we did get down to see him, the room was empty. That little 12-year-old boy had a concern for someone. He wanted to make sure he was saved. That's left an impression on me. And I'm thankful he got to grow up in the mission field. Because he got to go with me, and we got to go soul winning. He got to go with me soul winning. When I was going out, he was going out. And he was my partner, one of my partners. You know, he was my sidekick partner. And God used him. Remember one time back in 2005, we had a special visitor campaign, and he He was a lot younger then. He was nowhere near a teenager. I think he was 5 or 6 years old, something like that. And we came to church one Sunday. He said, "Dad, did you see the guy in the blue shirt?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I gave him an invitation yesterday. And I invited him out, and I asked him to be my visitor." Sure enough, he was there. And then I was able to give him some other news. I said, "Yes. Do you know what else, John?" I said, "After church?" I said, "He's being counseled right now for salvation." God can use anybody. And He wants to use anybody. And what we need to do is we just need to get busy and go. Get involved with a ministry. Get involved with a bus route. Get involved if you have a nursing home ministry. If you don't, maybe God will put on someone's heart to go have a nursing home ministry. It's hard work. But get involved and go. And as you go, you'll begin to grow a burden for other people. I'm starting to preach. Sorry, this is Sunday school. Go back and teach. Forget that, right? So we need to be going. Secondly, because I'll never get through this, we need to be seeing. That's what I see Jesus doing here. Look what it says there in verse 36. But when He saw the multitudes. See, when you go, going leads to seeing. And what did He see? He saw the condition of the people. Notice the condition of the people here. So He was seeing. He saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. That word fainted means that they were weak. They were feeble. You know, a lot of people put on a front. They act how tough they are and how strong they are and how they got it together and life's good and they're all partying, trying to have fun and trying to smile. It's a cover-up. They don't have peace. The Bible says, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." And unfortunately, so many young people look at all these people in the world who act like they're having fun, and so many of our young people look at it and say, "Oh, I wish I could have their kind of fun." No, you don't. Ask some people in here who used to live in that kind of lifestyle and how they were happy to get saved and get out of it. They fainted. When you start going, you'll start seeing the people are weak. They're feeble. Spiritually, they're feeble. Their lives are broken. Their marriages are broken. Their homes are broken. Their finances are a wreck. People need the Lord. And yet, they look at us like we're crazy. I'm crazy because I'm on my first wife and we've been faithful to each other because I'm not in debt. I'm crazy because my kids aren't on drugs. I'm crazy. I might be crazy, but not for those reasons. Fainted. And it says they were scattered abroad. That's another part of their condition. This is what he saw. They were scattered. That the phrase to scatter abroad means to fling, to deliberately hurl something.
Say, people are being flung around?
Yeah. That's what the devil does to people. He takes them and he just whips them around and ruins their life. Jesus said, "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd." Then he also talked here at the end, talking so that they fainted, they were scattered about, and it says, "as sheep having no shepherd." Now you think about that. Sheep really need to be led around. They need some direction. They're kind of helpless. They're not real brilliant. They need help. They need guidance. And here, these people, they're abandoned. The devil promises a good time. But he's not there to help put the pieces back together. He's not there. They're total. Unsaved people are totally abandoned. No direction, because no one's there to guide them. No hope. And when you start going, you start seeing the needs of people. And that will affect you. It's early in our time in Zambia. The Lord allowed us to lead 3 churches in our first term. That wasn't the plan. That's kind of how it worked out.
And one of the churches in the town of Monzi, and we went out visiting with one of the men to the town of Monzi to visit a family. The lady had come to church. The man, he didn't really come too much. So we were going to try to make a visit there. And when we got there, I saw outside, it was windy, it was dusty, it was that time of year. And outside there was some, I guess we'd call them like grain sacks. And there was someone laying on some grain sacks, and they were covered also with some grain sacks. And I said, "Who's that?" I said, "No, he's a patient. Well, he had tuberculosis, and he had AIDS. And he was not well at all." And he was so covered, even the head was covered. And I got to thinking, I said, "Has anyone witnessed to him before?" "Well, not that I know of." I said, "Well, we've got a witness to this guy." And there's a boy by the name of Coaster. He's 14 years old. Basically a skeleton wrapped in skin. So weak. We were able to witness to him, and he prayed to receive Christ as a Savior. I remember, and he was just so weak. He didn't have much strength. He needed to eat. They were poor. They didn't have. I remember we brought some food. We brought some things that would help. I remember my wife made some chocolate chip cookies. Now, chocolate chip cookies, you don't get chocolate chips in Zambia. They're not there. You have to have them shipped over. That was a precious commodity. I remember having a little bag of chocolate chip cookies, and I was handing it to Coaster, and he was so weak, he could hardly reach out, just shaking just to grab. It was a couple months later, Coaster passed away. I got to thinking, what if we didn't get to the mission field? What if I didn't go and make that visit? I wouldn't have seen him. He wouldn't have heard about Christ. He wouldn't have had the opportunity to get saved. Going leads to seeing. And you see people in their true condition. And then you can do something about it. But we're so busy. I don't have time to go. Oh, I'm not. It's not my personality. Well, it's not my personality either. Anybody ever get nervous knocking on doors? My hand went up first. Is it always comfortable? No. Do you like it when people slam the door in your face? No. Do you like it when people take a tract? Yeah. Do you like it when you get to get the gospel out to somebody? Mm-hmm. God knows what He's doing. Amen. All we have to do is go, and when we go, we'll begin to see. And then number three, feeling. Feeling, yeah. The Bible says there in verse number 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with what? Compassion. You know, somehow people think that being these strong, fundamental Baptists, we have no emotions. You know, it's completely unbiblical if you have no emotion. Oh, we're not one of those lovey-dovey type of churches. You don't love? But the Bible says the greatest of these is charity. We ought to love. We ought to have compassion. We're not supposed to be ruled or controlled by our feelings, but we ought to have some. And when we see the needs of other people, it ought to pull on our hearts a little bit. It ought to move us to do something. Jesus was moved with compassion. Compassion is painful sympathy. When you feel it in your heart, and you see, well, I mentioned, like, my son, he came back in tears. That man's dying. Painful sympathy. Painful sympathy. When's the last time you shed tears for someone who wasn't saved? We wonder why. So I pray. but we have passionless prayer. We got some loved one who's not saved. We got some friend who's not saved. And it really doesn't bother us that much. I don't know.
I'm thinking maybe we don't have the concern that we should have. Jesus had a concern. He was going. He was seeing. He was feeling. Listen, life's not about all about comfort and ease. We ought to carry a burden for the lost. Paul said in Romans 9:2 that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Wow. He had continual sorrow in his heart when he thought about people who weren't saved. He also said, yes, he also penned the same words, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Yes, he had joy in his heart for what God had done for him. He had joy in his heart for knowing God's in control of all situations. But he also, when he thought of the unsaved, it hurt. We get calloused to the unsaved. Some people, sometimes we see people and we turn our nose up on them. Wow, those people are, those are bad. Look at them. You see how they're dressed? You see how they're acting? Wow. We treat them like we treat the people in the opposing political party, right? Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, but those people need the Lord, don't they? You know, is our nation polarized right now, or am I just thinking things? I mean, there's so much hatred in our country right now. So much hatred. Now, I can disagree with someone's political views, but I better not hate those people. I better love those people. We need to get involved. Do you have deep feelings for the lost? Are you willing to allow God to break your heart for a group of people? Why not get involved with the bus ministry? Well, that's hard work. Yeah, it's hard work. Why not get involved in the nursing home ministry, visitation? Why not consider going to the mission field? Why not? The hardest years of our life were when we lived in Zambia. But Lisa, what were the best years? It's when we lived and we got to help people come to the Lord in Zambia. We're trying here. You know, there's not as many people wanting around here. We're still trying. We're still witnessing. We're still sowing the seed. We still see some saved. Yes. But wow. How good it was to be doing what God had called us to do. Number four, moving. We need to be going. We need to be seeing. We need to be feeling. And we need to be moving. In verse number 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved. David Livingstone, the great missionary to Africa, said, sympathy is no substitute for action. You can sit there and say, oh, I feel bad for those people in Africa. Well, why don't you go and help them? We'll say, well, I'll take a little bit of money out and maybe someone will go. Well, maybe someone's not going. We got, praise the Lord, got to lead a man to the Lord from Zambia recently. And he's going back. He's back now. He's back in the capital city. And he said, you need to send us a missionary. So he said, I'm going to start having friends and family into my house. And I'm going to start witnessing to them. But you need to send a missionary so we can have a church here. Amen. Well, that's great. But we don't have people who are surrendering to go to the mission field. Because there's no Walmart. There's no, what's that called? H-E-B? There's no H-E-B. We don't have that from where we're around. No McDonald's. Thankfully. Too much crease, eh? People want to give up a little bit of comfort. We need to be going. We need to be seeing. We need to be feeling. We need to be moving.
Oh, yeah, Jesus just didn't talk about it. He went and did something about it. He didn't just say, oh, it's too bad those poor people have no shepherd. Look in the next chapter, chapter 10, verse number 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. So Jesus said, hey, let's get busy. And he trained some guys and he sent them out to start doing the work. Then he didn't just sit around and do nothing. He did something too. In Matthew 14:14 says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed their sick. In Mark chapter 1, verse 38, and he said unto them, let us go into the next towns. Get that? Let us go into the next towns. Let's not be content here. Let's keep on moving. Let's keep on pressing. We haven't finished our job. We need to go to the next towns. That I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. Mark 6:6. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. In Luke chapter 8, verse 22, and now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. If you know that passage, you know what was on the other side of the lake? A madman. He went over the other side of the lake, the maniac of Gadara, and needed to get saved. And you know what happened after the maniac of Gadara got saved? He left and went back. He went across for one person.
But that one person got busy and did what? Started telling everybody else. I think the maniac got saved, don't you? I wonder who the real maniac is. Maybe the one who says they're saved and they don't go tell anybody. Oh, am I stepping on toes now?
Luke chapter 10, verse 1, after these things the Lord appointed 70 other also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. He wasn't just sitting around doing nothing. Luke 13:22, and he went through the cities and the villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. So he kept going. In John 4:4, we know that he must needs go through Samaria. There was someone there that needed to get saved. And then that someone got busy and went into town and did something that the disciples couldn't even do. Got so many of those people converted. And then in John 11:7 it says, then after that he saith to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And there are many others who followed along the same idea. Let me give you this quote. Oswald J. Smith wrote a book about missions. He said this: if God wills the evangelization of the world and you refuse to support missions, then you are opposed to the will of God. Like I said, I'm skipping. I got to finish now. I've got 15 seconds. The last point is praying. Verse 38 and there says, and Jesus said, pray ye. If you don't pray for the lost, means there's probably not much of a burden for the lost. Paul said, brother, my heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved. That was his heart's desire, so that's what he did. He prayed about it. You know what we pray about? We pray about our heart's desire. If you're always praying about money, that's your heart's desire. If we don't take any time to pray for a particular lost people, that must reveal something about our heart's desire. Might be missing a concern. Five things we just learned here. We see in the life of Jesus. He had a concern for the lost, and it showed. When God looks into your life, does he see, how many of those five things does he see? Maybe we don't have quite the burden we thought. Maybe we ought to confess that to God and ask God to change our hearts. And then we begin to be willing to do what he says. If you start doing these things, that'll help you get the burden. Not only does it show you if you have a burden, but you start doing them, it'll help you get the burden. You start praying for lost people, you know what you might start doing? You might start witnessing to them. Father, we thank you for the time together. We pray you bless this lesson and the service to follow. We ask that you'll continue to work in this church. And I'm thankful, Lord, for the pastor's vision to want to have
a greater concern for the lost. We pray you bless in a special way, Lord. Work on hearts, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.